Anyway, my name is Ken Gerlach. I'm a certified tumor professional. I've been in the cancer registry business for 20 years. Currently, I'm working with the National Program of Cancer Registries, which is administered by CDC. You know, it's interesting, when I put in my abstract for this presentation, you know, months and months ago, in my mind, I thought, well, this project will be over with, and I can come up with some definitive findings. But you know, things never work the way we think they are. And you know, so this is timely in the sense, but this is very much of a work in progress. This is something that's still going on, that's still being vetted. Having said that, I think this is appropriate to share this with this group in the sense that I can get ideas about, well, directions to go and things we can try. Now, I want to acknowledge my co-authors, Lori Havner, who's the NACER Director of Standards, and Jim Martin, who's co-chair of the NACER Clinical Data Work Group and director of the Virginia Cancer Registry. Now, what I want to do is, and I think to understand the context, you really need to understand the business of cancer registration. I want to spend some time talking about that. I want to talk about our community, talk about the North American Association of Central Cancer Registries, or NACER, and then talk about the pilot study that we've done to transmit data from a hospital registry to a central registry. Now, this is a very simplistic, high-level overview of our business in cancer registration. And as a first step here is, typically a hospital cancer registry is collecting data from a multitude of sources. And they're summarizing this to create a cancer abstract. And periodically, maybe once a week, maybe once a month, maybe once a year, this data is transmitted to the central cancer registry. Now, the central registry has a challenge, and an individual with cancer can have more than one cancer, and they can also receive treatment from multiple institutions. So the state registry or the central registry has to consolidate this information to get the very best. And periodically, typically once a year, central registries transmits de-identified data to national programs such as the one at CDC. Now, we're also seeing clinical data, primarily anatomical pathology reports, coming into the cancer registry. Now, for the purpose of this pilot, this is really what we're focused on, hospital to central. But what was surprising, kind of at the very end, is suddenly this central to national kind of came up. We knew this was an issue, but it really came up with a lot of force. Now, our community in the United States, there's three basic major standard setters: the American College of Surgeons Commission on Cancer, the National Cancer Institute Surveillance, Epidemiology, and End Results, and last but not least, my program at CDC, the National Program of Cancer Registries. Now, NACER is the umbrella organization, and NACER also includes North America, so we have Canadians. But it's engaged in a number of activities. And yeah, I don't want to go into all of these, but what I want to focus on is uniform data standards. And this is something that NACER has been dealing with for close to 20 years. And one of the things that NACER has developed are standards for the transmission of cancer abstract reports. And they've had this in place since 1994. Every data item that's collected is defined, the value set is contained, and the format is defined. So within the cancer registry community, we have an interoperable system. It's working. And through this system, we can collect approximately 1.4, 1.5 million cancers a year. So it's pretty good. Now, in terms of this volume, typically, it's updated once a year. Now, for the pilot study I'm going to be talking about, we use version 11.1. There were 407 data items. Now, starting this January, we're going to version 12. We've jumped to 504 data items, and you can see where the size has gone from nearly 7,000 to nearly 23,000. So this is very much of a format that changes annually. Now, in terms of the format itself, This brings back memories, I'm certain, to a lot of people. Basically, it's a column delimited format. If you're used to SAS, BMDP programs, this is what you use. Each line is a record. Each column has a piece of information. Race would be column position 157 and 158. Pathology data would be 1,409, et cetera, et cetera. Now, in the meantime, there's a lot that's going on in terms of the electronic health record. And NACER has recognized this, and their number one priority is to achieve syntactic and semantic interoperability with national standards by 2010. So with this in mind, and kind of realizing that Volume 2 could use some work, NACER, as any good institution, formed a new work group or committee. And this was the Clinical Data Work Group. And this, the mission, the goal, was to explore alternate mechanisms or messages to transmit the cancer abstract. And this was both within and outside the cancer registry community. Now, as a first step, what the work group did is it developed a set of core criteria in terms of helping to make the decision about which format to use. This software specific, I'm going to skip that, but just a few of the core criteria. Ability to handle repetitions, to transfer large text, ease of visually reviewing the data, consistency with the national healthcare industry standards, ease of adding, revising data, self-identifying, internet friendly. Now, we applied this criteria to four basic contenders, if you will, which are listed right there. And when we did this, we had a matrix with the criteria, with these different formats. We scored them for each one, and we made the decision that CDA was the one to go with. Now, CDA for us had several advantages. It's self-documenting, it's web-friendly, it's easy to change and add, subtract data items. It's also programmer current, and by that I mean it's, at least my perspective, it's the new graduates that are coming out of computer science school. This is something that, this is XML, this is something they're familiar with, this is something that's good. The other thing was that it allows multiple treatments, and certainly it's consistent with a lot of things that are going on at the national level. Now, rather than just dive into this, we felt that the next step would be to do a pilot study to get some experience with this and find out what it was. And we decided to transmit the cancer abstracts using HL7 CDA from a hospital registry to a central registry. We used dummy data, NACER record type A, version 11.1, all required and required when available data items. For vocabulary, we decided to use the LOINC codes for the NACER question codes. And for the answer codes, we decided to continue to use the NACER codes. It's not interoperable, it's not, it's not where we want to go. But this is such a big change. This is so incredible that we felt we couldn't do it in the sense of this pilot study there. At the same time, we're kind of looking at opportunities there to harmonize. Now, we acquired expertise in HL7 CDA. We developed an implementation guide and software tools. The guide has been developed. You can see the name right there. The software is to translate from the column delimited to CDA and vice versa. And I'm going to talk more about this on the next slide. The idea was to generate the CDA messages, to transmit them, to receive them, and then to compile lessons learned, note the advantages, disadvantages, and make recommendations to the NACER board. Now, the translation software was developed because for the idea with a potential phase-in, and the idea that not all vendors and developers will be able to implement at the same time. so it would allow concurrent formats for 2, 3, 4 years. Now, this is a flow diagram of what actually happened from the sender's perspective when they were creating the CDA message. They went to their database tables, they created an XML intermediate file, and from that they created the CDA file. And then because CDA, each record is a single file, they were put into a single zip file for the purposes of transmissions there. Now both, we didn't talk about this on the call, but both of the pilot implementers went ahead and did this pretty much independently. This is an example of what the XML intermediate file looks like. These are the NACER data item numbers, the LOINC codes, the file name, and over here are the values. And this is what was used to get to the CDA message. Now, in terms of our findings, and this is still preliminary, CDA is powerful. It allows the transmission of nested treatment information, and right now we have a hierarchy and can lose treatment information. We were successful at transmitting the dummy data. The transforms between CDA and FLAT worked, but at the same time, they need careful attention. CDA allows unlimited text, and the state-specific data items were transmitted in California. Now, within the NACER format, each state can define unique and special data items. California has 80, you know, an incredible number. Some states have zero. But California was able to do this transform and to get everything to work. The other thing that came up had to do with file size. And the file size was rather large. Now, in this table here, average number of characters per transmitted case, and this is from California, diagnosis here. I've reviewed this already for the current flat file format in terms of how the size jumped. Intermediate XML, you can see 23,000, 28,000. And then we see this jump for CDA, where it's jumping to nearly 69,000 and 112,000. So this was a pretty big jump. And our community has been having concerns going from 7,000 to 23,000. So this was a big red flag for our community. Now, in terms of preliminary discussion, I don't know if file size is a concern, but really probably what's more of a concern is the corresponding performance. For us, one of the things in CDA is that each, instead of having one file with multiple records, CDA has one file, one record. And so you're batching a lot, and that has an impact on the performance, at least from the pilot implementer's perspective. Now, one of the participants did an extrapolation from the state to the national. And now, in the national level, what you have is transmissions of 500,000, 2 million cases. So suddenly, performance becomes a major issue. I'm going to scoot along here, talk about our preliminary conclusions, which is right now, the pilot revealed some obstacles and some concerns. And at this time, I don't think we'll be recommending adoption in the cancer registry community. There's no community demand. The performance issues have to be addressed. We have to come up with a better way to do the batch modes, particularly for the state to the national issues. When we're talking about 2 million records, we have to find a better way to do this. At the same time, there's a realization that this may be an appropriate transmission vehicle for use, say, between the cancer registry community and other outside organizations like health information exchanges. There's just the realization that that may be. Now, in terms of our next step, pretty much we're grappling with our discussions, our conclusions, and where to go next. And we've got several, and these are just some ideas I want to share with you. First is to redesign the CDA implementation guide to emphasize performance so that a file size of 2 million records is doable within a reasonable amount of time as opposed to the entire weekend. The pilot implementers were very keen on XML, and one of the ideas was to explore HL7 version 2 XML as an option to see if we could kind of, would that be better? And the other was to develop a NACER XML format that could be used within the cancer registry community, but which could also be transformed into a CDA for export or transmissions outside of the community there. So these are my email address. I want to thank you very much.
Thank you, Ken. Great presentation. Questions, please.
Start here. With the issue with file sizes, now what kind of reduction did you notice in total data size once you zip those files together?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that, but I know that when we kind of took out a lot of the superfluous text, we reduced it like 10 or 15%. You know, there's obvious things we can do to, and this is the point, the pilot was not designed for performance. It was designed for accuracy. And so we really weren't concerned about these kinds of things. But we know, I almost immediately we can get a 10 to 20% improvement in file size through doing some other things. But to answer your question, I don't know.
But you feel that taking the performance hit is worth it to get the additional information that you can access through the XML format?
I think, you know, to me there's a difference because there's the XML format, which was used as an intermediate step, and then there was the CDA. And CDA is more structured, there's more information, there was more nested pieces of information. The XML example was just a very clean cut, straight, you know, 1, 2, 3 like this. So I think that we're probably not willing to take the hit at this time for CDA. And you know, there's been several presentations here about where performance and size and, you know, where CPU speed and memory's doubling every 2 years. And so a lot of this may become superfluous in the future, but for right now, where our systems are, it's an issue. It's a concern.
Nita?
Where it would be 2 million at a time, it'll be once a year.
Once a year.
Yeah, once a year.
Performance on a once a year basis, maybe that's a big deal.
Yeah. It's, yes, maybe it's not.
And I guess, you know, I'm not familiar with cancer registries at all except to see your big, you know, maps, you know, directories and stuff like that. But wouldn't this be a place where you could do a distributed query against everybody's, you know, when the people who actually need the data could do a distributed query against all the registries in their existing location rather than having to merge all the data in one spot?
It's possible that could happen. There's a certain degree of concern about privacy bordering probably on paranoia.
Yeah.
To me, conceivably, it's an idea that could work. The other thing is that even when the data arrives, it almost has to be analyzed to get the absolute pure data that's analyzable for, you know, annual incidence reports.
One last question.
Well, if you're gonna fight over
it. Split a question.
You know, it was interesting, but I've heard people, there's the document concept and there's a message content. And I've heard some people say as well, maybe the message content is more appropriate here. I don't know.
So I'll just mention one other thing in closing is one thing you might consider, because in CDA as well as in any of the V3 segments, there's much of the role and participant information that's repetitive as we go through. And have an abbreviated format that it essentially allows you to do a bulk transmission is something we should consider within HL7. So,
would that be a release 3 discussion? Or?
I think that's something to bring up to M&M and to the group within HL7 that This is essentially a new use case. Messages have not really been designed for bulk transmissions in the past, or documents rather. And so from the perspective of still getting that, there are a lot of ways that we could work with NHL 7 to make that process smoother.
Okay, so basically I use the same header.
Yes, thank you.